Hey everyone, welcome to Shine Health Coaching. So today I'm interviewing Natasha Wakefield. I met her on Clubhouse. I know we've talked a little bit about Clubhouse on this podcast so far, so it's been really awesome. And hearing her speak, I, you know, had a little delve through her Instagram and found that she focuses more on strength and conditioning, which obviously I focus more on the Muay Thai side of things. So I was just like so excited to learn more about this stuff and bring that value to you guys as well. So Natasha, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure thing. Yes, so I am Natasha. I'm based in Adelaide, South Australia. I am a strength and conditioning coach, and I'm also a women's health and fitness coach. So I primarily just work with women, and I feel super passionate about teaching women how to lift weights, get stronger, and then improve their mindset as well as their nutrition. So I guess that's where I'm at the moment. A little bit about me. I grew up with three brothers, and I had boys around me my whole life. So all my cousins I was quite close with, and they were boys too. And so I grew up a massive tomboy. I was always outside playing, very active, and just couldn't sit still. and I played lots of sports, was played soccer and netball, never really stuck at anything long term, and really had no clue what I wanted to do going through school. School wasn't really for me. Like, I had fun in school, didn't learn a whole heap. I just loved to muck around, and so had no real guidance, but I loved just being with people, and I ended up finding my way into community services. So I ended up, it's a really long story, but I worked at a bank, was terrible at that because I'm incredibly bad at maths and like would make terrible mistakes, like depositing money when people had withdrawn it. And I was, you know, one time like deposited like 300,000 into someone's account instead of 300. I thought, holy crap, like what is going on here? And then I checked the account. I was like, crap, I put in like an extra three zeros. They hadn't noticed, thank goodness. So I left before I got sacked. I ended up falling into community services, and then I started working with youth and really loved that. I've always loved helping people, and so I ended up working with disadvantaged and underprivileged young people in the community. Then I worked into, moved into schools, working in high schools, working in educational programs, and then I got into facilitating and creating programs and running programs and managing teams, and really enjoyed that, and was in that career for quite some time, felt really established, but just got really burnt out, and it's quite a taxing kind of a job to do, around, you know, a lot of sad stuff. And although there's some really great outcomes you can have with people, there's also a lot that you can't do for them, and that can be quite frustrating and disheartening. Kind of felt like I had done everything I wanted to with that career. And on the side, from when I was young, all the sports that I did, as I got older, I really got into running and loved running, and had my own journey in with exercise and with training. I kind of tried it all, and really fell into loving lifting weights and getting stronger. So on the side, I was studying to be a PT, and I got qualified in that, and was really, really terrified of making the jump into working as a PT. So I kind of did it gradually on the side for a little bit while I had my career. And I was sitting on that for a good 12 months and was just really scared to make that jump, but decided to. And I did it 2 weeks before the coronavirus hit.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it. I quit my job. I was like, no, I'm going to go full time with the business, with my personal training business. And then, yeah, the virus hit. And so the job I had lined up at the gym obviously wasn't going to go ahead because gyms were closed.
Yeah.
But I had all these girls that I was working with that still needed support through that time and still wanted to exercise and move their body. And so I just pivoted, like a lot of businesses did, and moved everything online. And it was actually such a blessing in disguise, because my business completely took a turn that I could have never imagined it would have. And here I am today with a really fantastic online program that's getting women feeling better about themselves, moving better, eating better, and just living happier lives. So that is a little bit about me and currently what I do.
Yeah, I had a look through your testimonials. You've got some great results there. Like I love how you tracked the weight loss over like the 3 months, and it was very like, because there's very like analytical people, and you know, you can tell a lot from a photo, but also just being able to see like literally the numbers, I was like, oh, that's so cool. So strength and conditioning, what led you, like what are some tips you can give people who are just starting out on gym that are, you know, in the strength and conditioning area, and yeah, just some common mistakes you see people make and common questions, and yeah, anything that you think is going to be important that people starting out should definitely hear.
Sure. So when it comes to resistance training, and resistance training meaning lifting weights, it can be pretty intimidating, especially I think for females in particular. It's just more comfortable to go into the gym and head for the treadmill, because we all know how to walk. We all know how to run. You don't really need, I mean, there is technique around running, but really majority of us can do it. Where going and lifting weights, doing a squat, doing a deadlift they are complex movements. And they can feel, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, or you feel like you don't know what you're doing, then it's quite intimidating just to walk in and do it. So I mean, I always really recommend someone seeing a PT or working with a coach initially to learn those movements. So I see those movements as any kind of a skill that you need to learn. Like anything, you know, even if you were learning to cook, the more you cook, the more confident you become, and the more you kind of know what you're doing, right? With resistance training and exercises, they are skills. So each exercise is a skill. A squat is a skill. An overhead press is a skill. And it's really important to get a really solid foundation with your form, so that as you get stronger, you're building upon that foundation that's nice and strong. If you go in and start lifting weights and your technique isn't great, you know, you might feel like you're getting stronger and adding weight, but really what you're doing is you're just reinforcing that bad movement pattern, and down the line that's going to cause issues and possible injuries and things like that. So I definitely recommend someone seeing a coach, or even going with a friend who knows what they're doing. The other thing I also recommend doing is getting a program. So following a bit of a program that you know is designed to really hit all of the muscle groups. So when we're looking at getting results, research shows that hitting each muscle group at least twice per week is the sweet spot. That's where you want to be at. And starting out, if you haven't done any exercise before, or you haven't got like a workout routine, then twice or three times a week is amazing, and you can get really phenomenal results from just weight training 2 to 3 times a week. The reason I am a real advocate for resistance training and for lifting weights is because a lot of the women I work with are fairly frustrated with not seeing the results that they want. A lot of them work really hard as well. So they, you know, they feel like they tidy up their diet and they're eating really well and they are exercising. Maybe they've joined, you know, some kind of a group fitness program, or they're doing their own kind of workouts at home or at the gym. And they might initially see some changes, and then they seem to like plateau.
Yeah, yep.
And that can be super frustrating, especially when you feel like you're putting in so much effort and there's no return there.
And so what do you think is that plateau for people? Do you think it's more that they hit this nutrition point where they're not willing to go that extra bit on the, you know, you can't out-train a bad diet. So do you think it's that people are just not, you know, tweaking the nutrition as much as it is, or do you think, like, what have you found is the problem they're facing?
Yeah. So, do you know the biggest reason I believe that people plateau, really from my experience and the women that I've worked with, is just lack of education and knowledge around what to eat and how to train for results.
Yeah.
Because it's not always about eating less and it's not always about eating more.
Yeah.
It's actually what you're doing and having a look at that. So the body is like so incredible and it will adapt to anything we throw at it. So yeah. Any kind of stimulus that we throw at the body, our body adapts. And by stimulus, I mean it could be any kind of exercising that we're doing. What our body does is it adapts to conserve energy. So, for example, say, Lacey, you go out, you've never run or, you know, you haven't worked out in a while and you're just saying, okay, I'm going to start running and I'm going to run around the block each morning. So you get up in the morning, you run around the block, feel good. You do that every day for 2 weeks and you realize I actually have lost a couple of kilos. So you continue doing it, you think this is working. Then 2 months down the track, you're still doing that run and you're getting faster and you're feeling fitter, but you're not getting any of the results like physically, right?
Yeah.
What happens is your body goes, okay, it learns. So it goes, Lacey, I know you're about to go for a run. You do this every morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to really conserve energy. So I'm going to minimize my energy output, meaning I'm going to minimize the amount of calories that are burnt during that run because I know that's going to happen. And the body always wants to hold on to energy, right? Like its first instinct is survival. So it's going to hold on to fat. It's going to hold on to calories as much as it possibly can. And so your body adapts to that. And then, so initially, because your body hasn't understood that you were going to go for a run, you would burn those extra calories, but then it adapts. And so then what you need to do is you need to go either for a faster run, you need to increase the length of your run or the time in order to continuously kind of keep the body guessing, right? So with that said, the hard part about some exercises is that the only way to make an exercise more difficult, for example, if you were running, would probably be to, you know, increase the amount of time that you're running. And that can be not incredibly sustainable long term. You know, if you end up, I mean, I'll just delve a little bit into my past. So I really loved running and I actually still really love running. But this was quite a while ago, maybe in my late teens, I would run a lot. So I'd, you know, cover at least 80 kilometers probably a week and was pretty frustrated because I thought that was the best form of exercise for me to be able to like lose fat and I wasn't losing any fat. And I was running so much and I couldn't increase the amount of running that I was doing. And I also couldn't decrease the amount of food I was eating because I was already so fatigued.
And so
you end up in this situation where you're exhausted, you're burning out, and you feel like you're doing all the right things and you're working so hard, but there's just no results. So with resistance training, the beauty of that is that we can continuously kind of shock the body in air quotes. We can provide a stimulus that keeps the body guessing. So we do that through a different range of ways. So we can look at the amount of reps that you're doing. We can increase those, or we can slow down the tempo of an exercise, meaning, you know, when you're squatting down, we can make you go down for 3 counts. So it'll be a really slow descent into that squat and then pop back up. We can increase the amount of weight that you're lifting. So there's so many different variables we can play with that continuously gets the body, it helps the body to not adapt.
Yeah, and I think even from a psychology point of view, it's not as boring. Like I would be running every day and at least I put good music in, but it's, if you're running, unless you're lost in, you know, in the place you're running. So I would run through the forest. So it's like, I love the forest, like in winter time, and like I watch the sun come up, the air is crisp, I can see my breath, you know, hitting the air, and I'm just like, this is like awesome. But I've definitely had experiences similar to yours where I was doing all the exercise and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. And so I went more into weight training and started doing more like deadlifts, like those really compound kind of exercises, and focusing more on my, you know, weightlifting rather than my running or even my Muay Thai. Because Muay Thai, it will tone you up, but I've never really got the body that I was hoping for from Muay Thai. And even in terms of core, like I don't know why. I think maybe it might be to do with hormones or whatnot, but I noticed the men in Muay Thai, they always look so shredded. Like they have abs, but the women in Muay Thai, they don't have a shredded stomach at all. They have like it's not toned. And so I went and started doing Pilates, and that I was able to get the tone that I wanted, because we're doing a lot more core focused and a lot more like balancing with those smaller muscles in the core, not so much just doing sit-ups or something. And it kind of worked different areas. So it's been really interesting, you know, and I love the fact that, you know, as PTs, we go through that journey ourselves, where we're trying to, you know, sculpt our body how we want, or we try one way and we realize it doesn't work. And then, you know, we go down this other direction and kind of learn more about what works and what doesn't. And it's hard as well, because everybody's body is different. Like something that I would respond to, somebody else may not respond to. And so it's like always this, you know, in terms of training people, I'm always like, number one, what do they want out of this? Because not everyone wants to train to be a Muay Thai fighter. Some people just want to be able to be functional. And what is their psychology? Like, is this person the type of person who is very hard on themselves and is going to be in their head the entire session? Or are they the type of person who, if anything, you need to keep them focused during the session, because they'll try and find all the easy ways out? So it's interesting journey. Yeah.
It is. And like you were saying, everyone's different. I think genetics plays a huge role. Like, and that's why I'm really big on people not comparing themselves to other people, because you can do the same workout routine. Like we, both of us could do the same workout routine. I could be, you know, I'm just thinking, like, even if I came into a training session with you and trained the way you did, I'm not going to magically look like you and run faster. It's just a matter of, I suppose, working with what you've got and making the most of that. And just touching on what you were talking about, the guys being shredded and then the girls not so much when it came to abs. I mean, the hard bit about that is women, we just naturally carry a higher level of body fat, and we need to for our health and for us to carry a baby. And so it's so much harder for us to get shredded like guys do. It's frustrating, but it is what it is.
And that's why I went out and started doing the more core work, because I realized that it wasn't even about my weight. It was literally about the fact that in order to build, I had to build up those muscles to get them to kind of show through. And so, it was
That's exactly right, Lacey. I mean, that's what toning, you know, when people say I want to look toned, you only get toned through building muscle.
Yes.
That is the only way you can get toned. And you can only do that through resistance training.
Yes.
So even the Pilates that you were doing, you were still probably adding resistance to the ab, that targeted ab.
Yes.
Even if it was just body weight, you were building resistance.
And I think it was just the fact that there was time that was dedicated to working different parts of the ab, whereas when I was doing abs for myself, it was literally I would just like pump out as many sit-ups as I could. And so I'm doing like hundreds of sit-ups and I would get like the little mini four pack, but I just didn't have like the obliques. And so then I started training the obliques. It wasn't like a sculpted look. It was like this muscle's big and this muscle's big, but it wasn't this like fully defined stomach that I was like hoping for. And it was literally only Pilates that did that.
It's true. You know, if that's right, if you want a muscle to be more visible, then you need to build it up.
Yes,
that's what it comes down to. And then you also need to be mindful of how much fat you're carrying, because if you have, doesn't matter, you might, you know, you may have done Pilates and you might have that six pack in there, but if you've got a layer of fat covering it, you're not really going to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, I suppose, where nutrition comes into it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I've gone through stages where I was, because I was training 5 hours a day. So I'm like, I can eat whatever I want. And you're so hungry after a training session. I was like, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to eat out, like out eat what I trained. But I actually did gain weight. And obviously my sport is a weight-based sport. So I have to stay trim, you know what I mean? And yeah. I was like, what is this? And it was like, oh, I really had to like accept that you can't out-train a bad diet. Everything comes down to nutrition. And I subscribe to the like 80-20 rule because like I have a sweet tooth, you know what I mean? But obviously I focus more on like nourishing my body first because one, I just get way better performance out of myself, both on like a emotional level, on a physical level, like just everything is better when I'm nourishing my body. And I think that comes from a place, like a really healthy place with yourself. I think it's a place of like self-love, of like, oh, I want to feed my body to fuel it, to be the best I can be. And like one thing I'm always saying, it's like my motto, I guess, is like, be your best self. And like me going into gym and now, you know, I've been in this environment for 7 years and now coming to where I am now, it's like that's really why we go and put that work in, is to be your best self. So it's like fueling yourself needs to come from that correct place of like self-love and looking after your body. And yes,
I couldn't agree with that more. That is like 100% what I preach. It's so funny because women go on diets, yo-yo diets all the time, and the funny thing is once they drop all of that and they just choose to eat from a place of self-respect, that is actually when they get results.
Yes, I know. It's so crazy because you know what I think it is? I think that they come in and they're so, you know, they're like, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to get these results. And it's like they go too hard too soon.
Yes.
And because they're going too hard too soon, they get this feeling of like restrictiveness and like they're not living their life. And then nobody wants to live like that. So eventually they go back to how they were eating before. And then it's like, not only that, then the body just bounces, like regains that weight. Because if anything, it's been used to eating however many calorie intake, you know what I mean? So for myself, like the 80-20 rule is like, I can, you know, I eat really healthy because I love the healthy foods that I have now. Like I have created, I guess, a menu of my favorite foods that I'm like, that was awesome. And they don't have to be fancy. Like today, all I had for lunch, so far anyway, was like, what was it? 2 eggs and a tomato. And if you like make that into a soup, and I know it sounds like so boring, but it's like my friend made it. It's so good. And I was like, this has got the protein. And like, and I wasn't, you know, I listened to my body. I was like, I'm not that hungry, so I'm not gonna force myself to eat something just because there's a certain time on the clock. Like, I'm big on like listening to your body and intuitive eating. And yeah,
absolutely, that is so good. And like, it's actually not even as much physical as it is psychological with diet. And
yes,
like that 80-20 rule is so important, and for mainly a psychological reason, because as soon as you tell yourself you can't eat something, that is
more.
It's all you want.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you really restrict your calories and you're really not fueling your body correctly, all you then think about is food.
Constantly. Yeah. Yes, and exactly.
You get stuck in this horrible cycle of feeling hungry, feeling like you want to eat, but feeling that you can't eat. Then if you eat more than what you wanted to, then those feelings of guilt come into it, then you restrict more, but then you can't, you know, sustain that amount, eating that little for so long, that you end up binging, and then the guilt comes in, and it's just this horrid cycle where
and this is literally where people get stuck in this cycle for their entire life. Like they never figure it out. And if anything, it's so much hard work going through that cycle and learning through that process that people just tend to give up and just accept that they're no longer healthy or whatever. So I think that's the thing I had to go through when I started my journey. I feel like I made like every single mistake in terms of gym, exercise, like pretty much anything you could do wrong. I was like, okay, this is going to work. This is not going to work. And then that's when I was like, I got to go study this. I got to go, you know, learn from this. And even now I'm still, I think it's a process of ever learning. And, you know, and I say that to my clients all the time. They're like, I'm like, you are looking at me who's been doing this for 7 years, who's had coaches twice a day for years. So for me, it's like I'm not page one. Like I've had to sit there and time and time again, reset my habits, like, you know, having a lemon water every day, just little stuff like that had to be layered in to create the person I am now. And those little moments when it's like, do I, you know, everyone's having a drink of alcohol. Am I going to give into that? Or am I going to, you know, I don't want to be hungover tomorrow. So that's like, I've layered that in. And I think that people, I wish more people understood that, because if they understood that, if they just keep going, they will get there eventually. But it's just, it's like learning how to walk. It's literally, like you said, a new skill. I love that you said that strength and conditioning training is a new skill, because I was like that when I started going to the gym. Like I didn't go near the weights at all. I was 3 kilometer walk on the treadmill every day. That was me. And I was like, woo, because I was afraid to go near the weights because I didn't know how to use them. And so it's the exact same thing with nutrition. And it's like, nobody in this world is going to escape the fact that we need to learn how to nourish our bodies. So it's like, it's a skill, but it takes time to learn. And there's so much, you know, perceived shortcuts that end up taking longer and putting people back, that it's like, that's part of why I'm like so passionate about like coaching people, because it's like I know how much I had to learn and how long it's taken me to be this person and to like fully treat my body like a god. Like I know it sounds like really like ego, but like I treat my body so good. I'm like, this is my body. I got one body. I want to climb mountains. I want to go, you know, fight and go to different countries and do all this cool stuff. Like I'm going to treat it so good. And then I look around and I see people who want to treat their body good, but they haven't learned how yet.
Yeah. Or, you know, absolutely. They don't understand, or they, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to mindset. They maybe subconsciously don't want to treat their body well. They want results, but they don't feel worthy of them, or they actually don't think they can do it. And
oh my god, you know what I found that people who are not happy in their careers or some other area of their life, it leaks into their fitness as well, because they're kind of like, if they're just showing up and doing what they think they should do out of a sense of duty and they're not like emotionally involved in their life, like there tends to be a connection between that and not bothering to show up for themselves in gym and exercise. It's like they start to use food as a comfort thing and just get into this very comfortable, this is how it is, I just have to accept it kind of mindset. And I noticed that and I was like, wow, that's so interesting to see that connection.
It is. I mean, our whole life is so connected. And I think our relationship with food, we all have, every single person has some kind of relationship with food. And I would say the majority of the population has a negative relationship with food and will turn to it generally, like you said, for comfort and sometimes restriction.
Yeah.
But from a place of almost from a place of like self-hatred or punishment as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Will only set you up for failure and will only, you know, make that relationship with food even worse. And so sometimes it's about stepping back and actually working on your mindset, because before you get your mindset right, you can have the best diet on the planet, you can have the best training program on the planet, but if you aren't thinking in a way that is going to serve you, then you're not going to get anywhere. Sabotage.
Legit. Oh my god, as you're saying this, I'm like, yes, that is so true. And that's why I went and started studying psychology, because I was giving people the information and, you know, I'd have people drop out of gym and then they come back again and then we get back and we start making momentum and then they drop out again. And it's just like, I was we get closer to the result, but I just felt like there was so much more extra suffering than there needed to be. And obviously, you know, part of it is just that learning and that, but I just, like you start to see when you're like that outside perspective, the person's psychology and how that changes how they show up to like every single personal training session. So coming back to like the type A personalities, like you're going through a session with them and if they don't get the, you know, they're not lifting the bar correctly, they're like, oh my god. And you can see them like almost like yelling at themselves. And I guess it comes from a place of like they want to get it right, but it's like it's not helpful, because then they just like implode. And it's like, you'd imagine they live with that psychology like 24/7. So how does that impact when they show up with their nutrition? And then what's the consequence of that? Like,
it's so funny you mentioned that, because I say I'm a recovered perfectionist and definitely lived like that for the majority of my life. I've always been incredibly hard on myself, set myself super high expectations, and would only want to do something if I was the best at it, right? And wouldn't give anything a crack unless I felt I could smash it.
Yeah.
And the issue with that is that you obviously can't be amazing at everything. And also you need to learn to show yourself some self-compassion and understand that any kind of action you take, whether it be imperfect action, is better than no action at all. Yeah. And that is something that I found with my clients a lot, is that as soon as they feel they've made a mistake, so like they've either eaten something they feel they shouldn't have, or they've missed a workout, or they've missed a week of workouts, instead of just accepting it for what it is but moving on, they tend to go like just give up and think, well, what the heck, you know, now I'm just going to go and eat whatever I want for the rest of the week, or I'm just not going to train next week either. And it's like this all or nothing mentality where if it's not done perfectly, there's no point doing it at all.
Yes. And that's like, I love that you talk about that too, because I've had my own experiences with that. And that actually held me back a lot in business. Like, I feel like in gym, I kind of, for some reason, I accepted the fact that I was going to suck at it. I was like, I know I'm going to suck at this for a while. But in terms of business, like, I was so afraid to go out there and do things because I wanted everything to be, to be perfect before I brought it out there. But it's just like, once you get out there, like, you learn through experience, and experience creates mistakes and of what worked and what didn't. And once I took, I guess, my identity out of that moment, I was like, okay, because I didn't do well at this moment, it's not my identity. It's not me who made a mistake, as in, like, you know, me as a person. It's, I just need to learn to do something a little bit different. So I started to see things as an opportunity to grow more. And yeah, I wish more people saw that in gym, because I think there's probably a few people that come in the door and then walk back out the door and never come back. And so, yeah, in terms of being a personal trainer, like, I'm very, you know, with my training sessions, I'm like, smash it, you know what I mean? But I find myself a lot more compassionate when I'm training others, because I don't know what's going on inside their head. I don't know what their psychology is saying. And it's like, it's kind of better to err on the side of caution sometimes, because some people could be like completely smile, like whatever, but inside their head it's like boom, like.
And also just the fact that they're there is a win. Like,
yes,
you know, just that they've turned up. You can be having like a really bad day, but just the fact that you've physically gotten there is amazing. And sometimes, you know, our workouts aren't incredible. I have workouts all the time where I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so crap.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but I think, well, you know, did I not get enough sleep last night? Have I been really stressed? You know, did I have a fight with a friend? There's all things that impact us. It's just about doing the best that we can in that moment and then really showing ourselves compassion. And like you said, treating your body, like you said, like a god, but really like treating your body well, like you would a friend. You know, but like you would a friend.
And I love, there was this, it was a quote I saw on Instagram, and it was like, when you're cooking dinner, ask yourself, would I feed a friend this? Yeah, and I was like, that's so amazing. And so sometimes, like, oh, I live alone and whatnot, but I'll still set up my dinner so that it's like pretty, because I'm like, it's just like a self-love thing. It's just like making your bed every day. You do it for you, because it's,
Yeah, that is so good. I love that quote. I haven't heard that one before.
It's good, hey, because I feel like we're so much more compassionate to other people, more than we are to ourselves. It's so interesting. And it's such a common thing. And I think it's just, we want to hold ourselves accountable and we want good for ourselves, but we don't always do that in the best way. And it's like this weird paradox that you hold yourself accountable by being that like compassionate person. And
Yeah, and it just doesn't get you anywhere. That's the thing. You just end up self-sabotaging. And like you said, I think a massive lesson, you know, that I've learned in the past is that when you do fail or you feel like you failed, like that's the gem. That's where like the learning is, and your capacity to grow and not only know not what to do next time, but to just really understand, you know, the whole experience and really take it for what it is and learn as much as you can from that, but actually and really view it as a positive. It can, yes, be really hard when you feel like you failed, but I don't know, my biggest times of growth and learning have always come from generally my darkest moments and when I've been at my lowest or when I feel like I haven't achieved what I wanted to. That's where growth comes, because, you know, you really generally only have one way to go when you're low, and that's up.
Yes, exactly. And it's always humbling as well, because I think sometimes, like, if you just win, you're like, I'm the best, and you stop listening to,
yes,
advice and that, and you just kind of get in your own, like, I'm awesome. But then when you have like a humbling moment, you're like, damn, I got more work to do. And I have taught myself how to love that. Like, I kind of think of life like a video game where I'm like, you know, it might take me 10 goes to get past this one level, like 10 goes of failing. But once I get past that level, it's like, woo, big win moment. And then, you know, on again, and you just continuously build these foundations until you build like the life that you desire.
That's so good. Yeah. I absolutely believe that. Yeah. And you know, imagine if you just gave up. Imagine if you gave up like at the second fight, like the second point where you failed something.
Yeah.
How sad, because you will reach wherever you want to go.
Yes.
We don't know how many times we'll fail, but you'll get there if you're persistent.
Yes.
If you give up, then you're nowhere closer to where you wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're going to stay stuck your whole life. So
yeah. And I think that confidence comes from that. Like, my confidence has grown from the moments where I didn't think I was going to be able to do something. So I've had to grow to reach that moment. Like, that's what gym was for me. Like, I was kind of similar to you. Like, I wasn't that into school and I didn't really want to go down to university and all that stuff. And I was just like, the one thing that I loved doing and I would always turn up for was gym. And no matter how much, you know, how hard of a day the day before was, I always came back in the next day. And so from that, I kind of grew some like confidence in myself. And then, you know, then I was like, you know what, I got to go out and learn more about this. So it's like, I built my foundation from gym. And I think that, you know, for people who are maybe, you know, coming out of a bad time or something, gym is always there for you. And it's like, you never have a moment where you go, damn, I wish I didn't go to that gym session.
No. Absolutely. And I think it's like, it's good to also bring up the fact that not everyone loves to exercise.
Yeah.
Like, I do love to exercise purely because I love, and it's probably really similar to you, like the self-discipline aspect of it, the fact that I can push myself mentally and the fact that I'm getting myself out of my comfort zone. I love all those things. I've had to learn to love those things.
Yeah.
For some of us, like, we just don't like it. And I think what's important there is to understand that, you know, in life there's things that we need to do that we don't necessarily love to do, but we know have a positive effect in our life. Like, you could even compare it to like brushing your teeth, right? I wouldn't say most people like get super excited about brushing their teeth every morning, but you just know you've got to do it in order to have healthy teeth, right? And exercise, like, you have to move your body in order to have a body that's going to allow you to live the life that you want to. Same with nutrition. You need to fuel your body in a way that's going to allow you to do the things that you want to in your life. And I think if we just give in to whatever we want and not take care of our body, then that's really going to impact the quality of our life.
Yes.
And our ability to achieve what we actually want to achieve outside of fitness and outside of nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess when I think about it, it's probably the equivalent of me doing an Excel spreadsheet. Like, I'm like, this sucks. No, I got to do it. Like,
I'm with you there.
Yeah. I feel really blessed that like my passion was gym. I feel like, thank God for that, you know.
Same. I know.
So lucky.
Yes, I do wish though my passion was like things like cooking. You know, I'm not the greatest cook. I just can't be stuffed. I think I love it though. But that's where the, you know, the perk of having a coach is really important, because for example, I don't like to cook, then I'm probably going to go on Google and, you know, buy someone's recipe book, or
yes,
on YouTube a cooking video to learn, right? Because it's not my thing. It's not the thing that I really want to do all the time. But I'm going to learn from people that are experts at it and that have a passion for it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and even like I think people underestimate how much good quality food you can make that's very quick to make, you know. Yeah. like the soup that I had today, that's like 5 minutes to make, you know. Have you ever had the banana and egg pancake where it's like two eggs, one banana?
Yeah, I make it all the time.
Oh my god, it's the best. Hey,
so yummy, so yummy. I actually make it for, I've got a little three-year-old. And I made it for them last night, actually.
Oh,
yeah. Loves them too. It's so good because you got your source of carbohydrates in there, you've got your protein from the egg, and you've also got the fats from the egg too. Yeah. So you've got a really nice balanced meal, super easy, two ingredients.
Happy and it's day. A good serving size as well. Like it works out very well. I'm like, yeah, this is so awesome.
So good. Yeah, and I think that is key with nutrition. People overcomplicate it. And they want to cook fancy meals, or they feel they have to cook fancy meals all the time. But that's, you know, in our busy lives, that's just not achievable. So I always say, like, create, you know, three different meals for each of, like, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, your three go-to meals that you can just chop and change. So you've got the ingredients in your pantry, in the fridge, and you know you can make quite easily, and keep them really basic so that you can actually stick to them. So if you're really, you know, you've had a huge day at work, you know it's like not too much effort or too much prep to make them. And just preparing a little bit in advance, but really making sure that they're just easy to whip up. Otherwise it can seem too overwhelming, and just like Uber Eats is more convenient.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like Uber Eats, you don't really know, even if it's healthy, you don't know what oils they've cooked, like you just don't have you just don't know what's really in it, and it can be a bit bit difficult to navigate those water. But you know, I've also had clients where they said to me, like, look, Lacey, I'm never gonna cook, okay, please don't try to make me cook. And so I went through and through Uber Eats and found a list of all the healthy foods and was like, okay, so if you're gonna go this Uber Eats direction, this is the list to choose from. Stay within this list.
And even like buying prepped meals, I get my girls to do that all the time.
Yeah,
you know, especially if they've got lots of kids or they work full time, they can't be bothered. I'm like, just go buy your lunches from like You Foods or My Muscle Chef, like just so you don't need to think about it. The food's already there. It is more expensive, but if you're buying food off Uber Eats, it's not more expensive than Uber.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually ordered some like meal prep for the first time. It arrives next week. So I'm interested because I've always cooked it myself, you know what I mean? And so, but then I kind of was like, you know what, I'm going to branch out and see some new recipes, you know?
Oh, so you're going to love it. You're not going to know yourself. I don't anymore. I occasionally do if I'm really busy. I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered like cooking this week. I'll just order some. But when you do, like, it's so good. It's so good not having to think about it.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. And just to be like, oh, lunchtime, go get some food. And yeah, I'm excited. It's going
to
be good.
So good. Oh, that's, you have to keep me updated on what you think.
Yes, I will. I will. Yeah. All right. So we will, I feel like we could talk forever because we're both like nerding out about health. We're like,
I know. I could ramble for days, honestly, on these topics.
I know. I'm exactly the same. Like anything to do with health or gym or psychology, I'm like all over it. I'm just like, well, but I was like, oh my God, people listening to this podcast are probably like, oh my God, they're oh man. Okay. So before we head off, I guess I'll just ask you, like, is there any like one message that, you know, that you want to share with everyone before we go?
Yeah. So I guess my biggest piece of advice would be to just start, no matter how small it is. Whatever you do or you're wanting to do, but however big the goal is, just start. Take a really small action, imperfect action each day. That can be as little as even just not even going to the gym, but just putting out your clothes that you would wear for the gym on your dresser. Just do that. Look at it the next day, look at it again, and then maybe the next day go out for a 10-minute walk. Get changed into those clothes and go for a 10-minute walk. Just build upon that, then go for a 20-minute walk. Then if you're feeling more confident, you know, go to the gym and walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. Anything you do, any kind of action towards your goal is better than not taking any action at all. So showing yourself some compassion, feeling like you don't need to go into that all or nothing mentality, start small, create healthy habits, and then build upon those.
Yes, and I love that, because people go straight for results when it's like consistency, because if you go straight for results, there's this, you're like, oh my God, I've got to go into this hard training session. Whereas if it's consistency of like, oh, I'm going to go for a 10-minute walk, I can manage that. It just takes off that pressure, and that kind of the wall that you hit is just, it's just not there. So yeah, I love that you said that. That was literally like, if I was going to say something, that's exactly what I would have said. So I was just like, as you were saying it, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really important.
Awesome. All right, everyone. We'll see you on the next podcast.